If a relationship, as George O'Shea once claimed, is the death of hope, then what is it when a relationship breaks up? The hope of death? An end to the inevitable and sometimes unbearable pain? Or is it death itself, manifest in 100 different ways? Is it a monument to personal failure, a symbol of your lack of resolve and character, a scrap heap of broken dreams? Or is it a fresh start, an opportunity for growth, an occasion for courage? A relationship split is certainly a destroyer. It is a bomb that blows shreds into your sense of who you are and what you have become. It is a series of landmines going off in your face when you least expect it. A shrapnel of memories searing your heart. The centre of which your life has been defined is suddenly ripped away. It's as if someone has given you a jigsaw puzzle of your life, removed half the pieces, and still expects you to form a coherent whole. A relationship exists in a continuum, with time past and time future embodied in an endless present. You and your partner move through life doing things, acquiring things, accomplishing things. But no experience or possession has a meaning except as it reflects on your relationship and its evolution. You may think of the past, but always in terms of the present. Look at us then and look at us now. The split obviously transforms the future, robbing it of its eyesight, but also strangely changes the past. Suddenly, old photographs of holidays and Christmas take on the weight of historical significance. Ordinary household objects become animate creatures fluent in the language of loss, alive with symbolic value. This shirt represents the mad day we were found out by a little girl as courtesying to a compromising situation. Here are the candles half burned and coated in a light dust that we would light on summer nights in the bedroom. This is the drawer where we would keep our contraband, the pipes and papers, and wishing that one day Mr. Big would fit in there as well. This is the window where we looked out of on a sunny August afternoon and saw the cats frolicking on the grass. And we discussed the end of our relationship with pretend matter-of-factness, like bad actors caught in the world's worst soap opera. Separation is purgatory, of course. You are neither here nor there. You no longer have any sense of where you are going and very little of where you have been. Was it all a dream? Were those years really yours? Friends and relatives, other members of that awful fraternity of separation try to help guide you through it. Letters, phone calls, visits, wishes, all precious. You're not alone. You are. This emptiness is a basement flooded with grief, and you spend months up to your knees in it, bailing, trying not to drown. People want to help, and they do, but you must do most of the work yourself. You find that you cannot escape the reality of loss. Rather, you must soak for a period in it. You must endure the self-doubt and self-recrimination, the platitudes of those who insist separation has become too easy. From those lofty perches, what can the suffering of others amount to but glib analysis of statistics? You're a number, a trend, a symptom of deteriorating social values, your pain reduced to sociology and political bromides. All of this you must survive, in addition to letting go of the life that you thought you had and the future that life implied. You must learn to wear that particular shirt, and light those candles and look at the cats playing in the grass, their vitality affirming the possibilities of life, the outside chance that the suffering may one day be suffused with the sweetness of new hope.